And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
You know, I think your brain produces a chemical that blocks out my voice.
What?
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is potpourri. Each of my guests has a fascinating subject, no two of which are related. My next guest is a singer-songwriter of country rock who heavily influenced the music of the 70s and the 80s. Friends with Glenn Frey of the Eagles and Jackson Browne, his musical fingerprints can be seen throughout the country rock era. We'll discuss his musical career and the upcoming Ventura Folk Festival. And if you want to ask a question or join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008. John David Souther, commonly known as JD, is a singer-songwriter, an actor, and a multi-instrumental musician. He is well known for his country rock performers. He's written or co-written hit songs with other artists, most famously Linda Ronstadt and the Eagles. JD was born in Detroit and raised in Amarillo, Texas, and he was greatly influenced by the Texan Roy Orbison. JD moved to Los Angeles in the late 1960s, where he met a young guitarist from Detroit named Glenn Frey of the Eagles fame. They became working together while sharing an apartment in Los Angeles, and their downstairs neighbor was none other than Jackson Browne. After recording his eponymous solo album in 1972, he was persuaded by David Geffen to join the Chris Hillman Richie Furay band, and joined Souther Hillman Furay Band was the name of that group. Interestingly enough, JD, Chris Hillman lives in the area and is a guest on the show too.
JD, I know him quite well. I spoke to him about 2 weeks ago.
Did you?
Hello. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you for being our guest.
Right into the delightful bunch of recent emails. I haven't spoken to either Chris or Richie, not for any particular reason, but just because we're in wildly different parts of the world, for years. And I, as it happens, I ran into Richie in Cleveland 3 months ago. We had dinner at the Ritz-Carlton. He and his wife, Nancy, and I had a wonderful time. Hillman's been emailing me, and I said something funny to him the other day. I said, gee, isn't it strange that we didn't get along this well back then? What do you suppose the odd element was?
And what was the answer?
Well, you figure it out.
Okay, well, we can talk about
anyway,
that more.
Chris went to see, actually right around the corner from you, Chris went to see the Springfield at the
Santa Barbara Bowl. Yeah.
And he saw Elliot, who used to be all of our manager, used to manage all of us.
Did he?
The first thing he said to Elliot was, we're not putting the band back together.
Well, that seems to be the recurring theme that we're seeing. Buffalo Springfield is together, and Richie is traveling with Stephen Stills and Neil Young. They're doing their reunion tour. That seems to be a recurring theme. Why is that?
I have no idea. I've been playing music since I was 11, and it changes for me every year. So I have no idea. I wouldn't want to go back and play my 1971 album again from start to finish.
Even though your fans may want you to do that?
Fans, man. If people like your music, they'll like your music, you know. It's not like I'm playing, you know, atonal harpsichord music or something. There's still just, if you like J.D. songs before, you like J.D. songs now. And besides, I'm doing probably half the set is songs that, exactly the songs that most of the audience has paid to come hear.
Ah, okay. Well,
it's not like I'm not doing those hit songs. I'm just, you know, this is 30 years later, so I'm doing them the way I play now.
Sure, and that
players
makes sense.
I use now, and I don't have guitar bands anymore, so it sounds a little different. Much cooler and kind of more, I don't know, if it was movies, you'd probably call it film noir, you know.
Film noir, a throwback.
It's
my guess.
Softer and darker, and it's fun. We've had a great time. We just came off a West Coast run that was so much fun and so successful. It was just a blast. We had people crawling up the walls every night, and a lot of my friends came. The music sounded great. We just hit a good peak, so.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that.
About playing this year, yeah.
I'm glad to hear that, because you're coming out here to Ventura. You're going to participate in the Ventura Folk Festival August 20th and 21st right here in the city of Ventura, so I'm glad to hear 21st. That you're on a musical peak.
21st, I think. We're just back from Japan the day before.
So. Oh, my. So we're getting you on jet lag from Japan. That's great. Well, J.D.,
we're actually back the 19th, but since you don't want me on jet lag from Japan, I think the date is the 21st.
There you go. All right. Well, talk to me about your new music, if you will, JD, and talk to me about the evolution of your music, because most of us are familiar with some of the songs that you wrote with the Eagles, with Bonnie Raitt, with Linda Ronstadt. But talk to me about the new direction that your music is in, and also this noir that you've got for some of the old songs that you perform.
I don't know. I just see it as a continuation of... I mean, if anyone that heard the Black Rose album and saw me in 76, they certainly didn't see the same guy that they saw in 71 or 72 or 73 with the first solo album or with Glenn or with Richie and Chris, because I was just learning how to play the guitar. I'd never even held one until I was 23.
Wow.
But I already played all these other instruments that I grew up playing. I was a jazz drummer and a tenor sax player. So the older I got, the more I began incorporating all the parts of music that I can play. Even some of those Eagles songs, they're pretty interesting chord changes, I have to admit, for rock and roll at the time.
Yeah, I mean, and you were on the cutting edge. That's why we perhaps remember that music so much, because it stood out from the rest of the music of that particular era.
That's nice to say. Thank you very much.
Well, I mean, and it's only the truth. You really helped to define the whole country rock era, so kudos to you for that. But you're better known...
Hearing that, it's funny. I've never felt like a country rock player, but I'm certainly grateful to take the credit.
Well, it's interesting. So one of the questions I was going to ask you, J.D., is do you ever stop and reflect on your career and go, wow, I'm J.D. Souther, and I've done all of these things in my musical career? I mean, does that ever dawn upon you, or are you just full steam ahead charging to the next thing?
Probably not often enough. I'm not a very nostalgic person by nature.
Hmm.
I always think that this song is the best, this day is the best, this conversation the most interesting, you know, this woman the most beautiful, the next sunrise the most perfect. I'm not a sentimentalist. I sound like it when I write songs. That's how I suppose I express that part of me, but I always think that whatever you're doing at the moment, if you're doing it as well as you can, stands as good a chance of being well-received as anything else. And we've just been really blind lucky since I started putting out albums again after laying off for 22 years or something, 23 years. People have liked them. And at a time when the record business is, as you know, not what it was.
That's a mild
audience.
Yeah,
nice to realize I have an audience, and that those songs, you know, I got my wish. The songs were built to last, and as this guy produced the new record, Natural History, his name is Fred Mullen, he said, "Look at it this way: how many people get to record an album of their own standards?"
That's an interesting perspective.
Well, he's done it before. He's tricked other people into this before, but it always works out well. He made a beautiful album with Jimmy Webb called 10 Easy Pieces, where basically Jimmy played all of the songs that had been hits for Glenn Campbell and the Fifth Dimension and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
He did one for Christofferson called the Austin Sessions, which is me and Bobby McGee and all those Christofferson songs, only him singing. So he said the same thing to me. He said, call these guys and ask them what the effect has been on their audience, and getting them back in, sort of connecting the dots between the songs and the writer. And everybody said, yeah, it's just a real good idea. Do it. And then I always regard Linda as sort of the last arbiter of this. She has extraordinarily good musical taste. She doesn't write, by the way, but she has the best ear for songs I've ever heard. And she sort of pushed me over the edge. She said, yeah, just do it. Just, you know, pretend you're your dad. Just be a crooner. You get to go in and sing all these songs. The work's already done. They're written. People like them. You know, so just approach them like they're somebody else's song. And it was an interesting point of view.
Well, it is. It's an interesting take that Linda Ronstadt had for you. And your latest album is called Natural History. Let me bore down, if I can, JD, on the songwriting process, because that, to me, is the fascinating part of what you do. So tell us about your songwriting process.
I have absolutely no methodology. I'm embarrassed to say. Sometimes it starts with me just walking by my piano and going, wow, look at that big, beautiful, grand thing. Sound, and blah, 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 blah. Some nice thing comes out of it. Or I'll just pick up a guitar. I've got them sitting everywhere. And it'll come out of that. very often. It used to, although maybe a little less so lately. Maybe that's how it feels like the songs have changed to me, though in some ways they probably haven't. Is that I'm up at night with a tablet and a pen. I love pens. I love a quill.
A quill, okay.
I do. I love a real fat old-fashioned pen. And I've gone to great lengths to discover every technologically advanced one. There's a great one called a Namiki Pilot. It operates like a ballpoint pen. You just snap it out. And it's got this great writing nib. Click the top again, it's back inside. You can stick it in your pocket.
How about that? Okay.
Yeah. At any rate, now I seem like it seems like I'm writing that way a lot because I got this amazing band. So I don't know. I get one of my fondest wishes. I get to be a good band leader. I get to write parts for these guys and go, hey, that's great, man. You can do that. You don't need me to do that, and you certainly don't have to play it exactly like the record. But you, yes, odd, yes, you on the trumpet. No, there's no trumpet on the record, but you're playing it perfectly. So I think we're going to be just a trio at the folk festival. The trumpet guy is here doing a symphonic thing, but it's just a blast. We always have a 2-minute critique after the set at night. Just kind of gather around each other and go, oh, this, and banging my head against the moon was a little fast. I don't know, Sad Cafe is really great that way, but wouldn't it be perfect tighten it up? And just one thing after another. The beginning to Your Only was great. You didn't play it. You played a solo instead of the rhythm. Yeah, it just happened. And and so it's been this kind of delightful discovery with audiences. We're not quite sure what we're going to do, but we are, because everybody knows the songs inside out. The players are very high caliber.
Yeah, professional musicians. My guest is J.D. Souther. He is going to be coming to Ventura to perform at the Ventura Folk Festival on August the 21st. Noon to sundown is the length of the festival. It'll be over at Mission Park in downtown Ventura, just across from the San Buenaventura Mission, a very historical place for you to be performing, J.D. Who were some of your musical influences growing up? I mentioned Roy Orbison at the top of the show.
Well,
but
musically, to me, I was grown then. I was 13 or something, or 12. But I'd say you got to remember, my dad was a big band singer. His mother is an opera singer.
Mm-hmm.
Her parents were Gilbert and Sullivan stars. We had music on in the house day and night. So before I heard any contemporary music by adults, who would have been Roy or the Everly Brothers or Buddy Holly or something, I already knew all of Gershwin and Cole Porter and Irving Berlin and Harold Arlen and Sammy Kahn and Jimmy Van Heusen, the guys from the 30s and 40s and 50s.
Sure. And so how did Porter... How did Gershwin influence the music that we hear today from you?
It probably influenced the music you heard then, too, just in terms of either lyrical sophistication or just trying to make something happen that hadn't exactly happened that way before. That's something I always sort of liked about some of those guys, Duke Ellington, would play any kind of music, you know.
Yeah.
Count Basie, same thing, play any kind of music. Duke Ellington once said there's only two kinds of music, good music and that other kind.
Great quote. That is a marvelous quote. Well,
it's true, and it's all folk music. You know, Louis Armstrong said, maybe it's all folk music. I ain't never heard no horse singing no song.
Another great quote. My guest is J.D. Souther. J.D., let me ask you an off-the-wall question. If you were addressing a kindergarten class, how would you describe what you do for a living?
Gee, kindergarten. I taught last year at NYU. I'm teaching this year at USC and next year at Berkeley. Kindergarten. Probably even more fun. It's probably a relatively small class, and I get to say... has anybody ever been in a big band before? And they would all go, no. And well, you're in one now. And here's a drum. And here's a... And well, one person, you want to start? Find a kid that wants to start. Okay, just do this thing. Let's keep doing it. Oh, maybe you're not the kid for that. You want to play flute? Okay, you do this. Okay, you... Great, okay, just keep doing that over and over, no matter what. We'll cross the room. And pretty soon you get this room full of giggling kids. They're going, wow, we know how to make music. Who knew?
That is great. A natural organizer, a natural conductor, a natural
I was a conductor when I was young, but I'm not much of an organizer, but I do have a sense of what people love about music. I think that's why people go away happy from these shows. We all go away happy. It's like, it's not a the drudgery that it usually is to go out to the, what's unartistically referred to as the merch table.
Hmm.
And sign things and give away posters and talk to people and hear their stories and stuff. But it actually has become a part of the experience, and it's pretty revealing to see somebody in line to buy a vinyl album, because we put everything out in vinyl too. You know, behind or it's got both albums in vinyl, standing behind a person with just a ticket and an old CD.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It's a really mixed audience, and it's great, because we're a fucking blast.
Well,
we're really fun on stage.
Yeah. No, that is good. Well, tell us about your latest album. It's called Natural History, JD. Where can people find it? What are they going to experience when they buy your album?
They're just going to feel good. They're going to grin from ear to ear. It's the make-out album of all time. If you can't get some loving with this album, you're in deep trouble.
All right, good to know. It's a great album if you're in a romantic mood. My guest has been J.D. Souther, songwriter, singer, musician of note. He is going to be coming to the Ventura Folk Festival here in the city of Ventura, August the 21st. That's going to be from noon to sundown in Mission Park across from Mission San Buenaventura. J.D., thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
It's been a great pleasure, man. I'll see you.
Thank you. See you at the festival. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.